Welcome. You're about to embark on a journey of sound. A sound you can relate to, yet not one often highlighted in a state that boasts of 10,000 lakes and the call of a lonely loon floating across the still waters on a warm summer evening. The sound you'll hear today is the music that penetrates your very soul, the blues. I'm Mr. Jack, and I'll be your host and tour guide as we cruise the Minnesota blues world and the artists who share the healing power of this musical genre. You're listening to Cruising the Minnesota Blues with Mr. Jack. Welcome aboard. Let's get this cruise underway.
Something that rhymes with superior. The only thing I could come up with was inferior. They might get mad, but that's okay, 'cause the folks over there, they cheer for Green Bay. Well, Duluth, Duluth, I come rolling, people, back back to you, to my favorite harvest city on that bay. I love you, Duluth.
That was a song entitled Duluth, written by musician, songwriter, and Minnesota native Troy Anderson, or more commonly known as in the music world as T-Roy Anderson. And today, our Minnesota blues road trip, we're going to sit down and have a talk with this artist who has been steeped in the blues for over 25 years. T-Roy has a unique style that has a folky blues roots music influence infused throughout his songs. T-Roy, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Glad you're with us, man. Hey, first of all, would you just describe your style or type of blues for my listening audience?
Well, I first grew up with Bob Dylan, John Prine, Neil Young, my guitar teacher. That's what he liked to play, so that's what I learned on. And then I played harmonica and guitar at the same time. I picked that up, so that was right down my alley with John Prine, Neil Young. And then after, I don't know, I suppose a few years, I started liking the blues. I go to the Duluth Blues Fest.
Oh, yeah.
And then I started learning the seventh chords and stuff, and then next thing you know, I'm playing blues. And then, so I got kind of a John Prine bluesy sound.
Okay. Well, it's kind of, you know, it's interesting because I was just curious how you discovered the blues genre of music, because it's just not normal for a kid growing up in northwestern Minnesota to really catch on to the blues. So I was just curious how you got into that. So who are maybe some of your blues influences over the years that you've really influenced by? Yeah.
I've liked just about all the blues players I listen to. Was that the Duluth Blues? I heard Luther Allison, and I just really loved him.
Wow.
Electric guitar and his style, and I was like, wow, I listened to a lot of his stuff, and I play some of it. And I like the Slide Delta sound, and Eric Clapton Unplugged King, though. He had that Dobro,
yes.
And I said, oh, I got to get myself one of those. And now I have an old Dobro, and it's so old, it doesn't have a serial number on it.
Oh.
That was just sent to me as like, it showed up at the Park Rapids Music Store, and I got it out of there for $300, but it's just its original Dobro.
Wow.
And then I have a National that I picked up off Craigslist from Lady in the City, so I got a pretty good deal with that, a National Delphi.
Great.
So I started learning different tunings, and this guy Kent Duchesne, he's a solo guy, he does New York Mills Cultural Center about once every 5 years. He was doing it every year, but I started playing a lot of his stuff because he was solo and he could stand up there and entertain the whole crowd with just him and his guitar, and I thought that's what I want to do.
And
then
cool.
He does some really nice minor tunings, like on an open D, he'll lower the G string down a half a step to an F sharp.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's F sharp already. He lowers it down to an F, which
okay,
is really
sure.
an eerie sound, and it was just beautiful too.
Yeah, that's I love that kind of stuff, that's just it. We musicians learn from listening to other musicians and, you know, exploring what they're doing, and then we make it our own. That's basically what you've done.
I know where my blues come from. I think my dad is a dairy farmer, and we're down Burnville, Minnesota was our address, but we moved away from Duluth when I was six, moved to Burnville, went to the Bertha School, and we were out there picking rocks and baling hay and working, you know, every day of the year.
Yeah.
I think that's where my blues comes from, just all that hard work and the
year,
you know.
Yeah, when I started dating my wife, she was from a farm, and I had to bale hay and pick rock and shovel corn, and I never knew work before that. So I understand what you're saying. Yeah. So let's say your history in performing blues over the years, what is your perception of the public's reception of, you know, at least in our region, in Minnesota and even eastern North Dakota, but you say you play mostly in Minnesota. That's cool. But what do you think the public's reception of it is, or where are they at with the blues?
You know, it's pretty amazing because Fargo has this blues fest every year and you get thousands of people to show up. But when you go somewhere and try to promote yourself as a blues player around here, they're really not seeing that interested.
Yeah.
You almost have to trick them. You know, well, I play a variety of music, and then you sneak your blues songs in and your originals, you know?
Right. Yeah, I understand that. Yep. Yeah, that's interesting to me. Like I said, it's just, for some reason, northern Minnesota, at least my experience, is it's very difficult to be a blues performer and, like you said, to line up gigs and so forth, because the venue owners are a little skeptical of whether or not it's going to draw a crowd, and perhaps so, because, you know, there's very little radio play of the blues unless you go to public radio. So
on the plus side, I guess I've played at the Fargo Blues Fest 6 times on stage with different bands, and then last couple times with my own band too, Roy Anderson Band. So, you know, that helps.
Sure. So are you still working with the band? So how many piece band is it?
3-piece band. I have Ben Ranson with me. He's been playing with me a long time. is great. He's played with Berklee College in Boston. Graduated there with honors, and he just plays all kinds of great blues and jazz and stuff like that.
Okay, so another guitar player?
Yep, and then on percussion and drums, I have Ozzy Osmondson from Fergus Falls, Minnesota, and he's played with a lot of bands, a lot of really good bands, and he's awesome.
Oh, that's
sometimes
great.
He just brings the cajon and sits on the cajon and plays that. Otherwise, he's got a really nice small trap set that he uses for smaller gigs and acoustic stuff.
Oh, that's great. So, yeah, that's great. So you have a band, and it's called the T. Roy Anderson Band?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You just Google T. Roy Anderson, and I've got about 60 videos on YouTube.
Excellent.
And that's my channel, too, T-Roy Anderson.
Okay. All right, super. And then you do solo gigs as well?
Yep. And I do solo stuff, too.
All right, great. So let's talk about your writing. You know, what I've found about your writing is it's very relatable to the listener. And you mentioned John Prine and Neil Young. And anyway, some of the songs that they write is exactly like that as well. It's relatable to the audience or to the listener. And you've got a song called the Park Rapids Song, which is about various Minnesota girls basically in the area. And I kind of look at it like the lonely blues musician longing for a girl to call his own. But I just love the feeling of that song that it gave me as I listened to it. So talk about your songwriting methods or what inspires you to write.
Yeah, I wrote that part of the song on piano, and I had some interesting chords on the piano. And it's like, I don't read music, but I know they were a little hard to find on guitar. So I just transposed them over to guitar since it was easier to play live. I could do most of my live stuff on guitar. So then that song was just different funny lines that I've come up with over the years. I just threw them in there.
Yeah.
And just kind of from my own experience. Yeah, I was single for a while in town there and traveling around and having bad luck. So I just kind of wrote a song about it.
Right. Well, it's just one that people could. I mean, as I said, as I'm listening to it, and in your other songs too, I just picked that one as one that I kind of stuck out to me, and it's something you could just relate to. I mean, it's something that when you're listening to it, you just go, wow, I've been there, or I understand what he's talking about. I can feel his feelings, that kind of thing. And that's what's cool about your songwriting to me. I like that.
Thank you. And I usually come up with a hook line or something I want to write about.
Yeah.
Like lately I've been wanting to write a song about the last white rhino.
Okay.
It's a good, a lot of stuff to rhyme with that and everything, That was kind of my next song that I got coming out.
Okay, all right.
But sometimes I'll go 6 months without a song and then all of a sudden I'll do three in a week,
Yeah, I understand that as well. I've always wondered how bands and songwriters, when they're under a contract to produce so much stuff, how they can put out so many songs, because I can't just sit down on a whim and write a song. It's got to be inspired or something that I've been thinking about, and so like you just talked about, I totally get you.
That's why you get a band that'll put out a really good album, and then all of a sudden the next one is like, what happened?
that's so true. That's so true. Let's hear a few more songs from T. Roy Anderson. We'll start off with the Park Rapids song that we just talked about. You're listening to Cruisin' the Minnesota Blues with Mr. Jack. Thanks for joining us.
North of Park Rapids, Minnesota, on Highway 71, there's a cafe there named The Oasis. It used to be a truck stop till they took the gas pumps away. And they got a girl working there. She's so fine, she's got a tattoo on her breast. And she wears clothes for everyone to see. trying hard not to stare as she brings over the menu and says, what would you like? I said, I'll take some biscuits and boobs, I mean gravy. She laughs and thinks I'm funny, and I know she'd go out with me if I just wasn't so afraid of rejection. So I just leave a nice tip, and I head for the door. Oh. But still I wonder what it might be like. Center of town, they've only got one stoplight, and there is a Holiday Station, and they got a fine chick working there, and she's got a big steel ball pierced on her tongue, and I'm laughing to myself while I'm standing in line. Maybe I should get a magnetic zipper put in my trousers, then I get some attention for her. And I tell her the band's playing on the hill tonight. She says she'll be there at 9. Oh, but she never shows. Ah, she never shows. She never shows. But still I wonder what it might be like. Going home with you tonight. Not going home alone tonight. Now on the east side of town, they got a pizza ranch there. And it's a bowling alley. And there's a redhead with freckles looking so fine. She says she'd be ready when she's done at 10. And she's still there, I couldn't believe it. Oh, my luck was about to change. And she takes me to a party, and everybody's having a good time. But then this scruffy little dude comes in, looks like he chased a fart through a bucket of nails. Said, anybody wanna come to my house and do some meth? I laughed to myself, what a dipshit. And then I went to the bathroom. When I come out, she was gone. And he was gone. Oh, she was gone. Still I wonder what it might be like. Not going home alone tonight. Going home with you tonight. Let's hear the Park Rapids Blues, Ben Ransom. Yeti brave from the Lakota prairie, living in what they call now Cheyenne Valley. says she'll wait for me as I go out and find the yellow hair out west. But I'm coming back to Cheyenne Valley with the buffaloes and the fishes in that stream. It's the blossom of the prairie and the eagle eyes will be watching out for me. When I got home, my brother been killed by the soldiers from Fort Ransom. My father been murdered by the Cheyenne. And I'm home where she met me at the Big Bend. Yes, I came back to Cheyenne Valley with the buffalo and the fishes in that stream. It's the blossom of the low Dakota prairie. What day should be waiting for me? Now Sitting Bull said the first day that the last buffalo was killed on the prairie, a cold wind came from nowhere. And he said our spirits will travel with this wind through the years until the buffalo come back again. One day my spirit was traveling and it rested on the shoulder of this blues singer who happened to be traveling down through the valley one day. Huh? Isn't it kind of funny how he wrote this song after that? All things kind of work out strange that way. Now I'm coming back to Cheyenne Valley with the buffaloes and the fishes in that stream. I'm coming back home to Cheyenne Valley. You'll be watching out for me. Eagle eyes. We'll be watching out. Got me peeping, got me hiding, got me peep hiding, baby, anywhere you want, let it roll. Oh, baby, let it roll. You got me doing what you want, and now tell me why you wanna go. You brought me up, put me down. Head me up, down, baby, any way you want, let it roll. Baby, let it roll. You got me doing what you wanted now. Tell me why do you wanna go. Thank you. took me in, you threw me out. You had me in, out, baby, any way you want, let it roll. Oh, baby, let it roll. You got me doing what you wanted now. Tell me why do you wanna go? Got me hiding, you got me peep hiding, baby. Any way you want, let it roll. Baby, let it roll. You got me doing what you wanna now. Tell me why do you wanna, tell me why do you wanna go.
Listening to some Minnesota blues today from artist T. Roy Anderson. This is Mr. Jack for Cruising to Minnesota Blues with Mr. Jack. Hey, I'll be right back. Stay tuned.
North of Park Rapids, Minnesota, on Highway 71, there's a cafe there named The Oasis. It used to be a truck stop till they took the gas pumps away. And they got a girl working there. She's so fine, she's got a tattoo on her breast. And she wears clothes for everyone to see. I'm trying hard not to stare as she brings over the menu. Says, what would you like? I said, I'll take some biscuits and boobs, I mean gravy. She laughs and thinks I'm funny, and I know she'd go out with me if I just wasn't so afraid of rejection. So I just leave a nice tip, and I head for the door. But still I wonder what it might be like. Thank you. the center of town, they've only got one stoplight. And there is a Holiday Station. And they got a fine chick working there, and she's got a big steel ball pierced on her tongue. And I'm laughing to myself while I'm standing in line. Maybe I should get a magnetic zipper put in my trousers, then I get some attention for her. And I tell her the band's playing on the hill tonight. She says she'll be there at 9. Oh, but she never shows. Ah, she never shows. She never shows. But still I wonder what it might be like. You tonight, not going home alone tonight. Now on the east side of town, they got a pizza ranch there. Bowling alley, and there's a redhead with freckles looking so fine. She says she'd be ready when she's done at 10, and she's still there, I couldn't believe it. Oh, my luck was about to change. And she takes me to a party, and everybody's having a good time. But then this scruffy little dude comes in. Looks like he chased a fart through a bucket of nails. Said, anybody wanna come to my house and do some meth? I laughed to myself, what a dipshit. And then I went to the bathroom. When I come out, she was gone. And he was gone. Oh, she was gone. And still I wonder what it might be like. Not going home alone tonight. Going home with you tonight. Let's hear the Park Rapids Blues, Ben Ransom.
Yeah, there's some blues from T. Roy Anderson on our Cruising the Minnesota Blues with Mr. Jack today. I had the opportunity to talk with Troy a little bit about the blues and his world. Let's get back to our interview. Equipment, you talked about some resonator guitars, an old Dobro and a National. What else do you use?
Well, my main guitar now, I always wanted the same guitar that John Prine played. I just love that sound of his guitar. He plays the Martin D-28 out of the 70s V-neck.
Mm.
I've got one that's a little bit newer. It's Martin HD-28 V-neck that I got off of Craigslist from a guy from Clarissa. And it wasn't cheap, but it has that sound, you know?
Right, right. I don't think people, I don't think that a lot of the times the general public realizes how much sometimes what guitars run. What is that ballpark of a guitar like that run?
Oh, it's $2,300.
Yep.
And then he had this Fishman pickup in there that I threw away with total junk. And I put a KK Mini in there, which sounds best pickup I've ever heard in a guitar.
Interesting. Okay, you use slides when you play?
Glass slides.
Glass, okay.
I got a bunch of different ones. I like to get the old ones if I can, a green medicine bottle or something, you know.
Sure.
I got a few of those.
All right.
And I like to use heavy strings. Start out with a 13 on on my acoustic guitars, and then I take the 13 off of the Dobro and Nashville, I put a 15 on there.
Oh, that is heavy. Yeah.
It's heavy, but it slides way better, and it just has more string and more tone the way I think about it, you know.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I've got a lot of players out there that listen to the show, so I always like to cover a little bit about the, you know, the rigs and harmonicas. What do you use for them?
I like to switch it up. I got Lee Oscars. Mm-hmm. I've got Golden Melody is my one I really like to use. They're bigger harps, but bigger harp, more sound. I get some blues harps too, but when you got the holder on, you know, it's a little different. When you're holding it in your hand, it's a lot easier to play. When you got that holder on, the limits what you can really do.
Yeah, I've never been a rack player myself for that reason. I always end up, the rack never stays on very well. And I'm pretty soon I'm bent over like I've got some kind of disease or something trying to play the harmonica.
I got this new harp now I picked up at the Park Rapids Music Store. It's Lee Oscar, but it's called Low F.
Ooh.
The F's kind of high. So
Low F, yeah.
It's called Low F, and oh, that's really nice. Nice harmonica. I was surprised that when I got it, I was like, wow.
Did you find that the arrangement of the notes is a little different than the regular diatonic? Because I have a low D, and it's totally different than my regular D, which also to me is high. You know, and if I'm playing blues in the key of A, I just don't like the high D, and I went to a low one, but it's arranged differently. Is the F like that?
Well, Lee Oscar makes some of those like that, diatonic something or another, but they reposition the notes in there, supposedly to make them easier to play, but for me it's just more confusing.
Oh, okay.
The ones that were low, to me, the one I got, I think is exactly the
same.
What another one would be, except for lower.
That's interesting to hear. That's interesting for me. Anything, any electric guitars?
Yeah, I got a Fender USA Strat 40th anniversary that my dad got me for my 40th birthday party. So that'd be 18 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a funny story because it came into the Park Rapids Music Store, and at the time, Pat owned it, the older lady. I can't remember her last name. But she, I told her I want that guitar at the time. I was hurting for cash, but I told her I wanted it. She goes, well, I'll hold on to it for you, and it's yours. And so I go in there about a week later, and it was gone. And so then I, like, kind of blew up at her and everything, and then my dad turned around and bought it for me. He gave it to me on my birthday.
That's great. That's a great story.
So I got the 40th anniversary thing on my 40th birthday party, because I told my dad it was there, and I wanted it. She kept saying, oh, it'll work out all right.
Wow. It's interesting because we musicians, sometimes we go into a music store, and I mean, I've had this happen about 3 times to me, where I go in and there's a guitar on the sitting on the rack or on the wall, and there's like rays from heaven coming down and angelic choirs singing, saying, buy me, or just something about that. And apparently that was one of those for you.
It was, With green, too, and that's my color. That's the color of my eyes, but I always liked green, you know, and it's a teal green.
Oh, nice.
Which is kind of a usual color for a Strat.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
People listen to the music. It's the only... It's the only thing I know. People listen to the music. You know it just might reach your soul. And it won't be me. And it won't be you. Playing the Cajun elevator blues. You wanna be a light in a dark place. It don't get any. Don't get any darker than this. You wanna be a light in a dark place. It don't get much darker than this. And it won't be me, and it won't be you, playing the Cajun elevator blues. Down to that Enderlin station to watch a train go by. I went down to that Enderlin station to catch myself a ride. When that old freight had slowed down, Lord, I jumped inside. I said, now hey, hey, freight train, now hey, hey, freight train, let me ride your blinds. Well, I'm going to Valley City tonight, babe, them college girls drive me wild. Well, you know I've been mistreated, but they'll buy my gasoline. Boys gotta run. Well, come on, people, now come on, people. Well, this blues man's gotta ride. Well, I got my old blue belly right by my side. Your problems for all the world to hear. And when my song is over, my conscience is clear, and I feel so happy, so very happy. singing the blues. The blues is a little different, you know. But it comes from a feel. I've listened to other kinds of music, but to me, they just ain't no big deal. I am so happy, so very happy, singing my blues. So happy, so very happy, since I found the blues. Let's hear it, Ben. Your problems for all the world to hear, and when your song is over, one thing is clear. Well, I feel so happy, so very happy, just me and my blue, me and my blue.
Earlier too about you've been to Clarksdale, Mississippi, which is a very kind of a blues mecca. Tell us about that a little bit. What's your experience down there in Mississippi?
Well, I had to go there. You know, I've heard so much about it, and even before I got down there, I talked to this guy Roger Stoley from the Cathead store there, and he's the guy that had kind of turned that town into a tourist trap for the blues.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, he writes articles. He writes articles for, I think, Blues Music Magazine. Used to be Blues Review.
So yeah, I became pretty good friends with him.
Oh, that's cool.
So I go down there, and then he'll line up a couple of gigs for me. I was at the Shack up in last time I was there, and I like to go down there when there isn't a festival going on in the middle of the week, and you can get right into the Shack up in. There's room there, and you can meet all the people that are not busy that can spend time with you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
there's quite a blues history down there, isn't there?
It's just amazing, you know. It really is. And just, they're nice people, too. And it's just, I feel that my another life, maybe perhaps I'd live there.
Wow. So, like, as far as the area or the history, what kind of stands out to you about that area in Clarksdale, Mississippi?
Oh, I like the cotton fields, I guess. They kind of look like snow, but just the food, too. I love catfish, and they sell it there. It's so awesome.
Wow.
And then just the people. And if you go to a church there, the gospel music will make you cry. You know, and the harmonies and everything they have there. And then just, you know, people there, a lot of them are struggling financially, you know, in that
Sure.
Oh, yeah. You can just feel the blues there, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And that's the home of the blues, so it's just, I don't know how many blues players have came out of there, but it's got to be in the hundreds.
Interesting history down there.
Yeah, there are three museums in town there you can go to.
Wow.
There's music 7 nights a week, and on weekends there's 10 or 11 different places that have live music.
Wow. Is there many years ago, and it's interesting because I was in one of the downtown juke joints or bars at that time, and they didn't have a refrigerator with like we do in our bars. You go and you can look, or they have shelves. They actually had a cooler. They had a cooler with ice in it, and they just had like one or two types of beer, and you just order what you want, and they'd give you a plastic glass with a beer and a mint. And that's how they served you. And I just thought that was rather interesting. That's basically, I'm talking modern day, and they're still doing things like they did back years ago. I know, is your most recent CD, is that Gateway to the Blues? Or Greatest Hits? You got Greatest Hits, basically.
Since I Found the Blues.
I Found the Blues? Okay, cool.
Yeah, since I Found the Blues.
Okay, all right.
That's the name of that song on there.
Okay, and how do people get this if they want to hear you?
You go on ReverbNation.com and then search T. Roy Anderson, and I'll come up there and be my shows, bio, songs, video, and all that stuff.
Okay.
There.
Yeah, I appreciate you talking with me today. I'm going to play some of your music here for the people to hear. I've got some aspiring young musicians that... They have the dreams of going out there and playing, in the venues and stuff. What kind of advice would you have for them?
I would have to be humble. I've played with so many guys that after the gig, they're going, oh, we're so great, I'm so great. They're going, I just say it, my thought is, there's somebody way better than you right around the corner.
Oh.
And if you got that attitude, I think you'll go a lot further than trying to think you're great.
Wow, that's great. Great advice. Hey, Troy, thanks so much for talking with me today. I appreciate what you do. I appreciate you keeping the blues alive, and so do my listeners. So thanks so much, man.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate what you're doing, keeping the blues alive.
Yeah, it's my mission.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for that.
You bet. Well, there you have it. A little bit of the heart of blues musician himself, T. Roy Anderson. I hope you enjoyed our show today. I got one more tune from T. Roy right now that we're going to play. It's about a boogeyman. Hey, this is Mr. Jack from Cruising the Minnesota Blues with Mr. Jack. You keep listening to those blues, supporting those artists. I'll be with you again next time, and we'll take a cruise somewhere else in the blues world. So until next time, this is Mr. Jack, and I'll catch you later.
Well, I got a reputation because I like to get low down. All you women better rough cover because the boogeyman's in town. They call me the boogeyman. No one can do it like I can. Call me the boogeyman, king size boogeyman. Well, the sheriff's got my number and he locked me up last fall. I taught his daughter how to do the boogie, now I can't come back at all. They call me the boogeyman, no one can do it like I can. They call me the boogeyman, king size boogeyman. I got in a little trouble now down at the county line. That little girl wouldn't let me go. She said, give it to me one more time. She called me the boogeyman. No one can do it like I can. She called me the boogeyman, super-sized boogeyman. But I tell you, little people, now don't you try to call the boogeyman. You can't reach him, you can't reach him at all. They call me boogeyman. No one can do it like I can. They call me the boogeyman, supersized boogeyman. Now the sheriff's got my number and he locked me up last fall. I taught his daughter how to do the boogie, now I can't come back and I know how to call me the boogeyman. No one can do it like I can. Call me the boogeyman, king size boogeyman. Boogeyman.